I am Yadav. This is Shattering Myths. On this program, we will expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion, politics, patriotism, military, and economic schemes. And boy, is the field rife for harvesting today. Instead of merely presenting the news, I'm going to do my best to help you understand why these things are occurring, and then share what we can do individually to protect ourselves from the perpetrators, while at the same time predicting what these events portend for our future. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms by way of His covenant through His Torah teaching, ultimately striving to replace religion with reason. Our phone number, if you'd like to question, criticize, or affirm anything I have to say, is 877-300-7645. Oh, what a wicked web we weave. Normally, I wouldn't turn my attention to a story on adultery. It is so commonplace in America and indeed in the world. In fact, you have religions that were literally based on the notion of adultery. One of the fastest growing religions in America, Mormonism, and of course the fastest growing religion in the world, Islam, are all based on an individual's lust to have control over more than one woman. And reality tells us that when surveys are done of men and women who are married having inappropriate sexual liaisons with other typically married men and women, that the numbers are in the 60-70% of married couples have affairs. If you were to consider only those married individuals in positions of political and military power, that number is probably in the 90 percentile. So while having an affair, having a having an unfaithful relationship with your spouse is a bad idea, and it is counterproductive. Typically, I try to stay away from such news as it is too commonplace. But in this particular case, it is far too indicative of the individuals who are now subject to tripping over themselves. For those who have listened to the show that preceded this one called Yada Ya Radio, you will know that I have spoken against General Petraeus for a very, very long time, and that more recently I have criticized General Allen with equal abandon. I think they are both extraordinarily dishonest individuals, self-serving individuals. I think they have been responsible for the murder of their countrymen, and that for the sake of their own ambitions, they have sacrificed thousands of lives of people who had no reason to die had it not been for their inappropriate leadership. When it comes to correctly stating the reasons for 9/11, for the American response against Islamic terrorism, you would have to look long and hard to find more misguided individuals, more dishonest individuals, more immoral individuals than General Petraeus, who went from being the man who, in heading up Iraq, decided that the surge would be a great idea, which ultimately, collectively, with America's occupation in Iraq, led to the deaths of over a million people. And he was then replaced by General Allen, whose insistence on a similar surge in Afghanistan has, in a year and a half, led to the deaths of more Americans than died in the first 9 years of that war. These are despicable men. They have always been despicable men. Well, as we know from the news, General Petraeus, who is married, had an affair with a graduate of West Point who is an absolute nincompoop. Now, I've had the displeasure of listening to Miss Broadwell's comments on the nature of the Afghan and Iraqi wars, and on the nature of alliances between Muslims and non-Muslims, the justifications for terrorism, and even her statements most recently about the very nature of the Ansar Sharia assault on the Benghazi embassy in Libya that led to the deaths of Americans. She articulates exactly the same position that is so repulsive in her boy toy, General Petraeus, who was until Friday head of America's intelligence organization, the CIA. Now, it gets worse because it's not just an affair that was covered up between Petraeus and Broadwell. Now, Broadwell was writing as her dissertation a biography on Petraeus, which she then turned into a book, all the while she was having an affair with the man. As it turns out, Broadwell then became threatened by a woman named Kelly, with whom General Allen, his replacement in Afghanistan, has been accused of not only sending thousands upon thousands of emails, but having many of those emails be sexually explicit. Miss Kelly is also married. And you see, this web has unwoven because Broadwell, who is the nitwit from West Point that jumped in the sack with General Petraeus in the process of writing his biography, she has been writing threatening emails to Kelly, and it was Kelly who reported the threatening emails to the FBI, which unwove this wicked web. Some of the news headlines regarding this read, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, General John Allen, who I despise, is being investigated for allegedly sending inappropriate emails to a woman at the center of the scandal which ended the career of CIA head General David Petraeus. The emails are said to have been sent to Jill Kelly, whose complaints led the FBI to uncover General Petraeus' extramarital affair with Paula Broadwell. You see, Jill Kelly, complained that she was receiving death threats from Paula Broadwell and other threats from Paula Broadwell, who was General Petraeus' love interest. David Petraeus resigned on Friday as head of the Central Intelligence Agency over his affair with Miss Broadwell. General Petraeus had been due to testify before a closed-door congressional committee meeting about the 11th of September 2012 attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, whereby the ambassador and three other Americans were murdered. This article does not say, but you now know, by Ansar Sharia, which means Friends of Sharia. Sharia is Islamic law. Sharia is based on the life, the words, and the deeds of Muhammad, who was repulsive. Sharia law is based on the life of a pedophile, a rapist, a sexual pervert, a man who committed countless acts of adultery, who was a thief, who was a terrorist, and by his own admission, a liar and a mass murderer. These are friends of law based upon his life that attacked the U.S. embassy. The CIA and the embassy knew that it was Ansar Sharia that planned and perpetrated the attack. Well, it is interesting. In a public statement that is recorded, you can listen to it on YouTube, Miss Broadwell, who was in the sack with General Petraeus, the head of the CIA, recently told a large public audience in front of a large rostrum, in front of a large crowd, that the CIA knew of the impending nature of this attack because, as it turns out, the CIA was holding captive individuals in Libya who were associated with Ansar Sharia, Friends of Sharia Law, and that the prime purpose of the assault was to capture an American ambassador or staff member so as to negotiate the release of the Ansar Sharia terrorists. She made that declaration in a public arena just within the last few weeks. Now, that has huge implications, not only for General Petraeus, who, as CIA director, leaked this information, which was confidential, classified, to his pillow mate, who did not have the good sense to keep it to herself, but it also implicates the President of the United States, convincing all who are open-minded and are aware of the evidence that he specifically lied when he, in the wake of that attack, blamed a movie which had nothing to do with it, so that he could continue to wage his war on behalf of Islam against extremists. And so this has really deteriorated into a whole lot of evil. So, as I said, General Petraeus had been due to testify about the Benghazi attack, but Ms. Kelly, Ms. Broadwell has already done it for him, but not before Congress, before a public crowd. Now, Mrs. Kelly, who is a married woman, had already been named in the Petraeus scandal after she told the FBI in the early summer months that she had received anonymous and harassing emails. Come to find out, they were all from Miss Broadwell. When the FBI investigated, it traced the emails to Paula Broadwell, bringing to light her affair with General Petraeus. Late on Monday, the FBI carried out a search of Ms. Broadwell's home. Ms. Kelly had been described as a volunteer with wounded veterans and with military families at the MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida, which is also headquarters of the U.S. Central Command. She is a family friend of General Petraeus, but there's no suggestions that they were having an affair, although now with General Petraeus's protege, General Allen, there is now evidence that Ms. Kelly and Mr. Allen, General Allen, are having one. A senior Pentagon official said that up to 30,000 pages of emails and other documents from General Allen's communications with Mrs. Kelly between 2010 and 2012 were now under review. We'll consider this mountain of evidence when we return to Shattering Myths after the break. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. In the last segment, I made a statement that indicted General Petraeus. Said in essence that Miss Broadwell, who was writing his biography, who was a West Point grad, who had spent considerable time with General Petraeus while still in the military in Iraq and Afghanistan, that now that she is a pillow pal of the head of the CIA, that she not only had access to information that has not been disclosed to the United States Congress or to the media or to Americans at large, and she disclosed it publicly, most recently at an affair that she was speaking at. Scott, I understand that you have that quote from Ms. Broadwell.
I don't know if a lot of you heard this, but the CIA annex had actually had taken a couple of Libyan militia members prisoner, and they think that the attack on the consulate was an effort to try to get these prisoners back. So that's still being vetted.
There you go. The CIA, as well as the U.S. Consulate, knew who attacked. They knew they were going to attack before they did. The U.S. Embassy had asked for greater protection from the impending attack by Ansar Sharia, and now you have the CIA trying to play its normal games where it does take prisoners outside of judicial constraints in foreign countries, typically tortures them in those countries, all while denying it in the United States. And here is Ms. Broadwell articulating what has not been disclosed by the CIA, further indicting Mr. Petraeus, who, as I say, is among the most disgusting individuals to ever wear the U.S. military flag. Continuing on, we were at a point where we were just discussing. This is staggering from my perspective. This general now is overseeing America's continued involvement in Afghanistan. He was the man who was the architect for the surge in Afghanistan, which radically increased America's troop presence there and led to the deaths of 1,100 U.S. service members, which more than doubled the number who had died in the 9 previous years. And during this time that he was making Americans ever more susceptible to being killed in Afghanistan, and now during a time where the primary source of murder of Americans was no longer suicide bombers, wasn't even improvised explosive devices, but for the first time now was the Afghans that America was arming and equipping that would have fallen under General Allen's purview, that as Americans were dying at alarming numbers at the hands of American weapons that had been given to the Afghanis, you have this man who was in charge of everything that happened in Afghanistan, General Allen, writing 30,000 pages of emails to a married woman, to Miss Kelly, many of which in this period of 2010 to 2012 when these deaths occurred, that were sexually suggestive. Now, if you're the parent of one of the boys and girls that was murdered in Afghanistan during this time, and you know that the disgusting general who was there to protect Americans and to deploy them in a reasonable and rational and moral fashion was writing 30,000 pages of emails to a married woman, many of which were sexually explicit, wouldn't you be enraged? General Allen, a 4-star Marine general, succeeded General Petraeus as the top American commander in Afghanistan in July of 2011. He was deputy commander of the Central Command before taking over Afghanistan. He is also a veteran of the Iraq War. He was being nominated by the Obama administration to be head of NATO. General Petraeus' affair with Miss Broadwell, who co-authored a biography of the general, began following his retirement from the Army and about 2 months after he became director of the CIA. He said it ended 4 months ago, but now we know he can't be trusted. General Petraeus joined the CIA in September of 2011 after heading the international forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. Some Afghanistan officials are asking how he found time to write tens of thousands of emails to a love interest when he was in charge of running a war. Here are the four spikes, if you will, of this web of evil, and we'll return to them after the break. But you have a wicked web between Jill Kelly, between General Petraeus, between General Allen and Jill Kelly. We'll return to this discussion after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
You know what
The weaving of a wicked web. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're discussing the fallout from the affair between a whole lot of very despicable individuals. General Petraeus, who I count as one of the most murderous Americans to have ever lived. Allen, who is responsible for the death of over 1,000 Americans. And their love interests, particularly Miss Broadwell. I don't know much about Miss Kelly, so I'm not in a position to comment about her. But certainly Miss Broadwell is the epitome of everything that's wrong with the U.S. Military Academy, which is where she was educated. We're going to play in a moment her statements about the relationship between American troops and the Afghanis that are been armed and equipped by America. As you now know, two things have happened since she has made these statements. One is that the primary means of killing Americans in Afghanistan has been the very Afghan army that America is equipping and forcing its soldiers to serve with. And second, a survey has finally been conducted of those Americans serving in Afghanistan, and it says that the Americans find their Afghani counterparts to be despicable in every possible way. On previous programs, I spoke about how they are most repulsed by Bachiba, which is the Afghan army's tendency to, with reckless abandon, take the prettiest boy, young boy, in each community, and to kidnap him so that the new Afghani soldiers can have sex with him, homosexual sex in a pedophile environment. It is their most repulsive mannerism. They also speak of their abuse of women, particularly of young girls, and their use of their own daughters, putting them into prostitution. They speak of their demented and twisted torture of dogs, which they find repulsive. And the list goes on and on as to why Americans despise the Afghanis that they are forced to serve with and train. And of course, now the primary reason is because they are killing Americans in reckless abandon. So to this, Miss Broadwell, who was educated at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, had the following statement about Americans being targeted by Afghanis. Scott, can you play that clip?
Well, I think that's taking it a little bit too far. There isn't a bullseye on the back of every one of our servicemen and women over there. In fact, I think a lot of this dialogue is overlooking the very strong relationships that many units have with their partner Afghan units. And in the ministries where this happened, in fact, some of these soldiers, and they're typically called Afghan hands, have great rapport and respect with Afghans. So I think we can't go too far and say that there's a target on everyone's back.
Yes, indeed. The opposite, of course, is true, and the truth is well known, and yet this nitwit, whom General Petraeus found great comfort, has said exactly the opposite. Hello, Scott. You got a contribution to make on this?
She did say that there's not a target on everyone's back. I mean, there's probably not a target on everyone's back.
Yeah, her whole point was that this whole thing is exaggerated, when in fact it's the primary cause of American fatalities now in Afghanistan. And her support of her misguided statement, because of course the opposite is true, is that that we're all real good pals over there. We just all hand in hand, when in fact the only survey of American servicemen in Afghanistan says that Americans are repulsed by them. And so what she is articulating is the very disease that has this immoral, uninformed, and irrational processing that has led America to do in Afghanistan what it did in Vietnam, that turned out so dreadfully for everyone, including Americans, the Vietnamese, and now the Afghanis, which is to aid and abet, to arm these nationals to fight for a corrupt government, when in fact all they're doing is resigning, turning their weapons over, and assigning their allegiance to the very foe that they were being equipped to fight. And that is what was articulated by this woman.
Her statement screams with somebody that doesn't know, who's not over there, not watching it, not seeing it day to day.
Oh, but she was over there. She did see it. Whoa. And she got Petraeus' point of view. And it shows how easily someone who is susceptible to indoctrination, which you are if you attend a U.S. military academy, or you are indoctrinated in any branch of the U.S. military, she was prone to accept the poison, and she did.
I'm going to guess that the survey that took where you find out that how the American soldiers really feel is something that's done completely anonymous, where they're not putting in their name to it. Because the way the military
Correct.
Works is that they want to turn you into that, you know, that alpha dog, you know, where I'm going to go tear somebody's head off or whatever. So
yes.
Therefore, if your bosses come up to you or your supposed leaders come up to you and they ask you if everything's going fine, things could be, you know, the worst in the world, and you're still going to say, nothing I can't handle, sir, or something like that.
Well, I have a nephew that serves in the military. He is a junior officer. He, with great consistency, tells me how disgusting his most senior officers are, those who he immediately reports to and those above them. And he constantly says, listen, I am in a no-win position. I can't hold them accountable. I can't say what you're doing is counterproductive. I can't say what you're doing is immoral or wasteful. He says, because if I were just to say, sir, are you sure you really want to do that? You know, it's inappropriate. They'd have my head.
But that's just it. You're not going to tell they're not going to tell their leaders.
No.
They know that that's going to make, as bad as things are for them right then and there, it's going to get a whole lot worse.
And it goes all the way up to the top, which means if you were to say what you're doing is inappropriate, the person above them is doing the same thing. There are consistent reports, and from people whom I know for certain, that on the ships that sail as America's Force for Good, you know, the advertisement, this is America's Navy, a force for good, where they will bring on board women who will be on the payroll of the U.S. government, who are not in the U.S. military, for the express purpose of serving as sex toys for the senior officers aboard those ships. They will call them personal trainers. They will call them consultants, but they serve as sex toys.
Well,
and it's from top to bottom. I mean, the reality is, in the U.S. military, a woman is 10 times more likely to be abused than she is in any other place in society. 80% of the women who serve in the U.S. military are sexually abused. We have a serious problem, and Americans are beguiled into supporting the military as if it was this great honored thing that was doing a moral good.
Well, it's the same thing in the business world. Of course, it's from the top down. Everything runs downhill. You're gonna treat those lower than you or below you the way that you get treated by your superior. So if they're despicable human beings and you want to keep moving up in the ranks, you're gonna become that because that's what you see. That's what gets you ahead. In the business world, your employees are a direct reflection of the manager. If you walk into a business and employees aren't paying attention and they're slouching and they're lounging around and doing absolutely nothing, that's a reflection upon the manager, because if their manager's doing his job, they'll be attentive.
But there is a difference. And the difference, let's just speak about sexual abuse. If in a business, a senior executive in a business sexually abuses an individual in that business, that person not only is fired, but the business will lose millions of dollars in lawsuits, which is why businesses will do everything they possibly can to train their employees that at the first sign of sexual abuse to report it and not to tolerate it, and that they show that there's absolutely zero tolerance for the perpetrator. In the U.S. military, exactly the opposite occurs. There is virtually no consequence for the perpetrators of sexual abuse. It is almost universally covered over, and the victims of sexual abuse never receive financial compensation.
Sounds a lot like another organization we talk about often.
The Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
In fact, there's a story out today about the investigation of the Roman Catholic Church in Australia and the individuals who were abused there. We'll cover that on a future show. But yes, the U.S. military is very similar in the area of sexual abuse to the Roman Catholic Church. The only difference in the U.S. military and the Roman Catholic Church is that it is mostly sexual abuse of women by men, and they're not pedophiles. In the Roman Catholic Church, it's almost always homosexual abuse, and it's almost always grown men abusing little boys. And so it's pedophilia. So the Roman Catholic Church is worse Just because somebody is worse than you does not exonerate the U.S. military. This is a very serious problem. And if we simply look at it as, well, boys will be boys, and he had an affair, why are we so concerned about this? Well, you ought to be concerned because of what you learned about Benghazi, about what you learned about the individual that Petraeus, as head of the CIA and head of the U.S. military for all those years, would find alluring. And you ought to be concerned because this person now threatened Kelly, who is now entangled in an affair with General Petraeus's protege, General Allen. It is a wicked, wicked, wicked web, and it is not an organization that should engender American support.
Well, it's also like you said, if there's one, there's probably a good chance that there's another. And if he's telling secrets to these people and they're going out and making speeches and they're letting stuff out,
correct. I
mean, who knows who else they're telling?
Correct.
And so it's a huge security breach. Your people at your top level have to be the people that you trust the
most. Beyond the security breach, General Allen. He's responsible for the lives of the American troops in Afghanistan, and during his administration of that war, we lost more Americans in a year and a half than we had in the previous 9 years, and he's off spending time writing 30,000 emails to a married woman who's a love interest. I mean, it's far worse than just the release of sensitive information. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. If you disagree with our assessment, you're more than welcome to call and state your opinion. 877-300-7645. Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. For those interested in joining in this discussion, you can call toll-free 877-300-7645. There is an outgrowth of the malfeasance that has taken place in Afghanistan and in Washington, D.C. with the U.S. military and with the CIA. And that is what is now happening in Syria. You see, the judgment, the lack thereof, and immorality of our leaders, their universal ignorance and advocacy for that which is destructive to America, is at work now in Syria. And Syria is a much bigger problem than Afghanistan and Iraq ever were. In fact, Afghanistan was an ally of the United States and an enemy of America's principal enemy in the Islamic world, which is Iran. With that realization, we now have Syria, which is serving as a proxy war between Iran and Saudi Arabia, between Sunni and Shia Islam, with the United States and Europe on one side wanting to aid the Salafist Muslims, Sunnis, who are rebelling against the Shiite government, and Iran and Iraq on the other side wanting to aid and abet the Shia that are in control of that country. And so in the midst of this proxy war with Russia and China on the side of Iran and thus on the side of the Syrian government, we are playing with an explosion and a catalyst that could as surely lead to World War III, as was giving Czechoslovakia to Nazi Germany at the onset of World War II. And so these same misguided individuals that are leading American foreign policy with the CIA and who is hugely involved in Syria already under General Petraeus, and the army that is now set up in Turkey to guide, arm, and equip the Salafist Muslim fighters in Syria are putting America in harm's way again, leading the world to war. Yesterday, in fact, it was actually this morning, there was this headline in the BBC where it says the U.S. looks to accelerate its support, new Syrian opposition group. U.S. officials are relieved now that Syria's disjointed opposition has finally succeeded in creating a united front. The appearance of being united. What happened over the weekend was huge, said a senior administration official. This would be someone in the Obama White House. I think it's fair to say that most of us were pessimistic, but the opposition did it. They have a long way to go, but this is a major step forward. Syria expert Andrew Tabler, however, of the Washington Institute, who isn't as jaundiced as is this administration, cautioned that the division inside the Syrian opposition is very real. He says now all we have is an umbrella organization inside of an umbrella organization, he told CNN. In other words, this is strictly an illusion. We have the Syrian National Council, which is dominated by exiles, in itself a collection of Muslim Brotherhood and Salafists, now under the umbrella of another organization with a lot of older national figures. The good news is that there are 14 people from local council, but the circumstances of their selection is unclear. There aren't any armed representatives on the council. It represents civilians, but the question is, how are you going to coordinate with the militias? And, of course, the Secretary of the United States wants us to work with the people fighting and dying in the streets of Syria, not recognizing that those fighting and dying in the streets of Syria are Islamic jihadists. I was sent a picture from Syria this morning. For those who have not seen this picture, I would encourage you to consider it. It is a picture of what the last suicide bomb did in Syria. You know, we have seen pictures of some cratered buildings and some craters in the streets where the Syrian army has shelled one area or another. Well, this is devastating beyond hell. And it's all the result of the opposition blowing up cars in civilian neighborhoods. The very people America wants to help have become ruthless terrorists. And it gets worse. There was a large expose published by CNN over the weekend, which showed all of the combatants that were committing atrocities being those that were fighting under the banner of the rebels. This is a war where there are no good sides. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. More in a moment.
Despite what medical experts tell you, it's just not possible to get all the nutrients your body needs from food. Minerals are essential for good health, but not all soils contain these nutrients.